Thank you. Blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, December 18, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe Football Association, or ZIFA, has fired the entire Warriors technical team headed by former Dynamo's kingpin Kalisto Pasua.
It's a very sad development for Zimbabwean football. It simply means we have got a ZIFA leadership that does not have a focus on what is supposed to be done, that does not have a focus on the future.
ZANU-PF expels more members as factionalism deepens in the party.
As long as there is no clear successor to President Robert Mugabe, we are likely to see more and worse of such suspensions and counter-suspensions and factional fights.
And Women of Justice Arise urge government should reinstate a state program aimed at supporting poor school children.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Zimbabwe Football Association, or ZIFA, has fired the entire Warriors technical team headed by former Dynamo's kingpin Kalisto Pasua. In a statement signed by ZIFA Vice President Omega Siwanda, the association said this was made at an extraordinary meeting of the ZIFA National Executive Committee on December 17, 2015, in Harare, where it was resolved that the entire technical team for the men's national team, headed by Kalisto Pasua, be relieved of its duties. The new head coach's chicken in boss, Joy Antipas, will be deputized by Twendera Indiraya and Mandla Mpofu. Sibanda could not say why the entire technical team was fired, only noting that these appointments are with immediate effect. He said the national team camp preparing for the CHAN tournament has been dissolved with immediate effect and new camp dates will be announced in due course.
He said in the statement posted on the ZIFA website, the new technical team will be in charge of the 2016 CHAN tournament and 2017 African Cup of Nations campaign. The Warriors have over the years been almost crippled by financial problems and have not made it into the elite soccer league worldwide. Some Zimbabweans have reacted with anger over the sacking of Pasua, saying he must be reinstated with his entire technical team. Soccer commentator Wellington Tony spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
It's a very sad development for Zimbabwean football at the moment, considering the fact that the African Nations Championships are only starting on the 16th of January, and basically the national team that was in camp has got about 4 weeks to prepare. To me, it simply means we have got a ZIFA leadership that does not have a focus on what is supposed to be done, that does not have a focus on the future, that is not even seeing that there is a competition, a very important competition that is supposed to be taking place in the next four weeks or so. If they had to make changes, at least they could have waited until the end of January, when the African the CHAN Championships would have been done. Well, everybody could have understood that. But to say the team is in camp, the coach is in camp, and all of a sudden you make an announcement, the coach is gone. No, we cannot have football like that. We cannot run football like that.
Now, what are the reasons being given by ZIFA? Have you ever had any kind of insight of what is happening?
The acting ZIFA president, Omega Span, says it is actually a privilege for anybody to serve. He doesn't keep his on the benevolence of the National Association. He says no one can hold the nation to ransom as far as maybe salaries, allowances, and anything like that is concerned. Really, to me, the reasons are they have got nothing to do with what the next wants to be achieved in a 90-minute game of football. If there are any other reasons, maybe those are boredom decisions, maybe those are boredom reasons, but for now, why don't we look at what we want to achieve at CHAN and then we take decisions after that? Because the reasons that they've given, honestly, they do not hold any water anyway in terms of football development.
So what happens about the preparations for the next match for the Chan Cup?
Honestly, it's absolute chaos because the information that is coming in now is that Joey Antipas, the coach that they want to replace Calisto Pasua, he's saying, no, I cannot take over the team because I also have the CAF Champions League with chicken in next year. And Norman Mateza is also saying, look, I've got a good contract with FC Platinum. FC Platinum are a big company. They are a big team. They are a big company, just like Chicken Inn, who are sponsored by INSCO. Those people cannot leave their jobs. Cannot leave their jobs with either FC Platinum or Chicken Inn to go and coach the Warriors away. Definitely, there is no salary. So as far as our preparations are concerned, well, it's definite chaos. I don't know where that idea actually came from, Zifa leadership.
A soccer analyst Wellington Tony speaking there with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
Factionalism is deepening in the ruling ZANU-PF party, with the faction allegedly linked to Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa on the ropes, with several members of the group being suspended or expelled from the party. The latest wave was in Manicaland province, where three Mnangagwa allies in the Youth League, Chairman Kelvin Manyengavana, Treasurer Gertrude Mutandi, and Political Commissar Washington Zhuwiwi were suspended after a vote of no confidence. The ZANU-PF 2014 Congress and the just-ended National Conference were purportedly rallied to establish a membership base solidly loyal to President Robert Mugabe through the so-called One Centre of Power.
The faction said to be loyal to the rival Generation 40, allegedly led by First Lady Grace Mugabe, is said to be behind the suspension of the trio. ZANU-PF Youth League Secretary Pupurai Togarepi told Studio 7 he could not comment on the developments in Manicaland as he was writing his exams. But human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the unresolved succession issue in ZANU-PF is causing friction in the party.
Very worrying but not surprising, given that ZANU-PF party is a state of serious factional fighting that is linked to succession. And also because the succession issue has not been resolved. So for as long as there is no clear successor to President Robert Mugabe, we are likely to see more and worse of such suspensions and counter-suspensions and factional fights.
But is there need for fight if the party, for example, has already declared that Mr. Mugabe will represent the party in the presidential election come 2018?
That is, in fact, a stopgap measure because that is not the issue. The issue is who comes after Mugabe. And this is where all the fighting comes from, because people are positioning themselves to succeed Mugabe. So for as long as they continue to say Mugabe is the sole candidate going forward, what it means is that there has been no resolution to the succession dispute.
Dewa Mavinga is a human rights lawyer. He spoke earlier on with Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg.
In another development, Mavinga says the decision by Cabinet to give the Land Commission bill a nod before it goes to Parliament is welcome. Reacting to a story published in the state-controlled Herald newspaper, Mavinga said credible, independent and qualified people should be appointed to the commission.
Lands and Rural Resettlement Minister Douglas Mombeshwara told the newspaper a cabinet will on Monday approve the Land Commission Bill, stepping up efforts to establish the Land Commission. Mavinga applauds the government's move.
Well, the Land Commission Bill is long overdue. The Land Commission is a long overdue body that should be set up as soon as possible to look into the whole land reform process, particularly the contentious issue of politicized multiple farm ownership. I think it's key to reviving the economy of Zimbabwe that there are no people with multiple farms, and that really there is order that's brought through an investigation by this Land Commission.
Who would you think should be in this commission?
Ideally, individuals on this commission should be independent, non-partisan, and without connections of dubious connections in terms of allocations of multiple farms. But we all know that it might not happen as such because of the dominance of one party, the ruling ZANU-PF party in this process. But ideally, really, it must be an independent commission manned by independent commissioners who are men and women of integrity who can really properly investigate without fear or favor the manner in which individuals amassed farms and got allocated farms under the land reform process.
With the history of commissions in Zimbabwe, do you see this land commission being successful in trying to carry out its mandate as per Zimbabwe's constitution?
I think commissions tend to surprise. It would largely depend on the caliber of individuals who get appointed to such a commission. The Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission has surprisingly done very well under the leadership of Commissioner Mbali. So we should not write it off before we have a land commission. But what is key is to have strong individuals who are independent and who have integrity and who really put the interests of Zimbabwe first and not partisan political interests of saying they want to please individuals in a particular political party. If we have such individuals, then this commission has a chance and has potential to take Zimbabwe forward.
Human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga on the line from Johannesburg.
Hello, Zimbabwe. How are you? I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and I'm inviting you to send us your audio and voice messages about Christmas and the new year. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. Again, that number is 001-202-465-0318. Tell us how you are doing and what you think about this year's Christmas. Remember to tell us who you are and where you are from.
Thank you to those of you who responded and sent us your Christmas and New Year greetings. Here are some of the ones we've received so far.
Studio 7, hello, my name is Winfred Malikonga Dube. I'd like to greet my family and friends all over Zimbabwe. I'd like to say hello to my one and only Faith. Hello, baby. I love you very much. Wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'd like to say hello to all my relatives in Mkolokwe, Southern Plumtree. Hello, everyone. Wishing you a very happy holiday. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Francis Chumba, originally from Chevo, but I'm based in Joburg in South Africa. Due to economic hardships in our country, I would like to wish my family a Merry Xmas. It's a pity I cannot make it there this Christmas, guys. However, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Blessing Shumba and crew, Studio 7, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Basa sibasa varume.
My name is Moson Matika. I come from Tenwad in Harare, and I would want to greet Matika family from Mount Darwin, and including Anton Matika from Roy Village, which is in Mount Darwin, and Babana Mai Matika, also at Roy Village in Mount Darwin. I also want to greet my girlfriend called Rumbizai, living in Chitungwiza, and my ex-girlfriend.
Hey, how are you? I'm Tafara, I'm in Shurugwe. I would like to wish a happy and prosperous New Year to my wife, Clora, and to my daughter Candice, and my son Hest, my brothers and sisters in Shishavane, my mom in Shishavane, and all my friends in Gweru and around the country. Thank you.
We want to hear from you out there, so please send us your messages on WhatsApp. Our number is 1-202-465-0318. That number again, 1-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook.
Coming up,
Zimbabwean youth engage in some dances for survival.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The Vatican says Pope Francis, head of the Roman Catholic Church, has recognized the second miracle attributed to the late Mother Teresa, clearing the way for her elevation to sainthood. Vatican officials say today that the Pope has approved a decree that attributed a miracle to Mother Teresa's intercession.
The last deep coal mine in Britain closed today, putting some 450 miners out of work and signaling the end of an era. The North Yorkshire-based Kingly Colliery is closing in response to Britain's push to close all coal-fired power plants by 2025, essentially putting an end to what was once an essential national industry.
And one of China's most powerful businessmen who briefly disappeared from public view amid rumors he was the subject of a corruption investigation has resurfaced in the U.S., according to his company.
Women of Justice Arise say the government should reinstate a state program aimed at supporting poor school children, as some kids are facing problems of paying school fees. The organization's chairperson, Alice Kuvia, tells Studio 7, Zimbabwe's current economic crisis is driving children out of school.
At the moment, there is no assistance from the government. We are only getting assistance from individuals, from churches and from organizations. So we are begging the government to please, can you help the orphans? Can you help the widows? Because it's the orphans' right, according to our constitution, to be educated. But on the ground, we have realized that most orphans are not going to school because their parents or one parent or some of them, they do not even have one parent. They cannot afford to pay their fees. So we are begging the government to reopen the BEAM program and the SOS program so that they can assist these kids and their mothers or fathers.
You were talking about some programs that you are going to have before Christmas. If you could tell us about those.
On the 22nd of December, in Budiriro, we'll be giving out some clothes, some foodstuffs to widows, to orphans, to underprivileged people around the area. So we are seeking for anyone who can help us with anything, either in kind, with clothing, with stuff, with cash, or anything that they can. Please contact us and help us. We are seeking any assistance from the organization, from churches, from individuals, from the government, from outside the country, from within Zimbabwe. We are seeking for any assistance from the government, from organizations, from individuals, from churches. Please come and help us. Come and witness the situation that most of our sisters, that's widows, our brothers, and some orphans, some disabled people, the situation that they are living. Please come and witness this. Let's stand up and help each other. Let's stand up and pray for each other.
That was Alice Kuvia of Women of Justice Arise speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Millions of children used to benefit under the Basic Education Assistance Module but are no longer benefiting. We will give you more details on this story with Mavelas Mhlanganyawe here on Studio 7. Don't miss it.
Opposition parties that signed the National Electoral Reform Agreement, churches, students and workers met in Harare today under the Zimbabwe National Agreement platform meant to discuss issues affecting the country. 12 opposition parties, including Morgan Tsvangirai's MDC and former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's People First outfit, signed the document, which is expected to put pressure on the government to implement electoral reforms ahead of the much-anticipated 2018 harmonized elections. One of the conveners of the Indaba, Bishop Anselmo Magaya, tells Studio 7 the meeting started very late after the intervention of the courts following a police move to ban the gathering.
Yes, Zimbabwe National Agreement Platform Convergency process has been launched today. Unfortunately, because in a brutal show of force, the police actually were sending people away. And we couldn't start this program on time, you know, but
We had to brave it. People were very, very persevering, and we ended up just starting almost around 4 o'clock. But it went on very well.
What did the police say? Because we understand that the Constitution gives you the right to convene.
Very true. The police simply stated the fact that they didn't have enough police details to actually deploy due to the hecticness of the circumstances. But funny enough, they were there. The truckload of police officers were actually there, despite the fact that they claimed that they wouldn't be able to cover that event. And secondly, they did say that we had not in our letter disclosed how many delegates or how many participants there would be for management purposes. And that's the reason why they would not sanction it, which also is quite frivolous, simply because they would have simply wanted to get more clarity from us.
That was Bishop Anselmo Magaya in Harare with Studio 7.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States has continued to support the peaceful management and resolution of territorial and maritime disputes in the South China Sea. U.S. President Barack Obama reiterated this message during recent meetings in Southeast Asia, where he called for a halt to recent construction on disputed islands and submerged features in the South China Sea. We agree on the need for bold steps to lower tensions, including pledging to halt further reclamation, new construction, and militarization of disputed areas in the South China Sea, he said. China, Vietnam, the Philippines, Malaysia, Brunei, and Taiwan all claim sovereignty over some or all of the land features in the South China Sea. However, since 2014, China has engaged in land reclamation on 7 features in the Spratly Islands, where the Philippines and several other countries also have claims. The Philippines has recently brought elements of its dispute with China under the Law of the Sea Convention to an arbitral tribunal in The Hague. While the U.S. does not take a position on the territorial claims of each nation, it insists that all claims be based on international law and that differences be addressed peacefully through diplomatic and legal means. That's why, said President Obama, the United States supports the Philippines' decision to use arbitration under the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea to peacefully and lawfully address differences. The South China Sea is home to many valuable resources, including an important fishing industry. Vital shipping lanes traverse the area, carrying over half the world's merchant shipping tonnage. The U.S. insists that behavior by all countries uphold the principles of freedom of navigation and overflight, unimpeded lawful commerce, respect for international law, and the peaceful resolution of disputes.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in our sports segment, the Zimbabwe sports family is looking forward to a bright 2016, but only if the government invests in the industry. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story.
Since joining the international sporting world in 1980, the Zimbabwean government has not invested a lot in sport, even though it has always expected good results. Now and then, Zimbabwean teams have been forced out of international participation, as they could not afford the travelling costs involved. The financial situation within the sporting world has been getting worse by each day, as the corporate world has not been supportive due to the harsh economic climate prevailing in the country. Even those who have been very supportive have been cutting their costs, as evidenced by Delta Beverages, who have reduced their sponsorship for the annual National Sports Awards from the initial 50,000 down to 20,000. Soccer analyst Moses Gunduza says the corporate world no longer has the capacity to sustain sport in the country due to the prevailing economic climate.
We are having problems with the sponsors. The companies are closing down. Companies are the one who were sponsoring way back. The number of the companies closing is getting high every day. The government must come in.
Even Pearson Mashona of the newly created Aero Modeling Federation of Zimbabwe believes only the government's financial involvement will help stimulate sport development. Zimbabwe's warriors are joined top of the table in their qualifying group for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations. But Zimbabwe National Soccer Supporters Association committee member Lazarus Banda says this dream might not be realized if there is no money. Viola Msariri from Special Olympics Zimbabwe says they are hoping for more support in 2016 after bringing home 12 medals from the 2015 World Games in Los Angeles.
This is the opportunity. We've seen what these athletes can do and would want you to come on board and be able to work with Special Olympics and offer these children an opportunity to showcase their abilities.
In response, the new sports minister, Makosin Hlongwane, has promised a better 2016. He says he has set up a meeting next week with the Minister of Finance, Patrick Chinamasa, with the view of having the government fund all national teams.
The Minister of Finance has agreed to meet with me next week to deal with issues of funding, especially for our national teams, to find a way forward. We have Olympics next year. We have our boys that will be traveling to Rwanda. We need to find a way of assisting those projects. Our actions and intentions around this area are anchored on the need to contribute to the realization of Zim Asset.
The sports minister says he'll also be pursuing with the Minister of Home Affairs, Ignatius Chombo, to say to it that sport receives its share from gaming as outlined by the Zimbabwe Gaming Act.
My ministry is working around the clock to ensure that our athletes who are dotted around the globe are supported so that they may be able to train and compete around the world without much of the challenges they faced in the past. I'm also undertaking to engage my colleague, the Minister of Home Affairs, so that we may receive a piece of the cake from the process of the gaming and lotteries as provided for in Section 43 of the Gaming and Lotteries Act.
Zimbabwe has a number of international engagements lined up in 2016, which the minister feels they need to be supported. The Zimbabwe national soccer team will be traveling to Rwanda in January for the African Nations Championships, better known as CHAN. The women's soccer team, the Mighty Warriors, also need to go into camp early in preparation for their 2016 Rio Olympic Games appearance. As if this is not enough, Zimbabwe will also be hosting the 2016 Under-19 Rugby World Cup. The question, however, is, does the government have the financial resources to finance such adventures when it is failing to pay bonuses to civil servants? Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
I'm with you, my lover, lover. With you, everything is well, well. Your love, they make my heart do yori, yori. Nobody can love you the way I do. I'm with you, my lover, lover. With you, everything is well, well. Your love, they make my heart do yori, yori. Nobody can love you the way I do. I'm with you, my love. Same thing, way they make me feel like, say, you go be my wife. Now the same thing, weeping, they make my friend talk, say, I dey waste my time. Now because I dey respect you, girl, spend it for you every night and day. I dey pray for you, because of you, I dey fly like butterfly, my love. Now this thing make people, they say, I don't lose my sense, my pain. But nobody can stop me from loving you. I'm with you, my lover, lover. Everything is well, well, your love, they make my heart to do
yori, yori, nobody can love you the way
yori,
I
yori.
Do. Yori, yori, the music of Bracket coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. And now we recap today's top stories, Jonga.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about the firing of Warriors coach Kalisto Pasua and his technical team.
Yes, and I will do a quick recap. Just to say, yes, the main story was the Pasua story, so please stay tuned for Live Talk. ZANU-PF expels more supporters and members as factionalism deepens in the party. That's all we had for you tonight. Signing off is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, leaving you with Standekile Mhlanga.